Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
All right, let's get in the word tonight. Those of you online, we're so glad you're with us once again. And we're going to be all over the place. I have a thread that the Spirit of God has led me on this afternoon, and I'm really looking forward to getting to it. If you're to go to Jeremiah chapter 49, you will find a passage of Scripture. They're talking about a nation of Elam. Elam. Everybody say that, Elam. Well, Elam is modern day, anybody know? Iran. And so in Jeremiah 49, it talks about just prophetic word that really the fulfillment of Jeremiah 49 comes to pass just a few decades after it was given. So it would be a mistake to draw it out and say that this is for its meaning now. From verse 30, Jeremiah 49, verse 35, goes on about how I'll break the bow of Elam, the foremost of their mind, and it goes all the way down. But there's this promise in verse 39. But it shall come to pass in the latter days. Everybody say the latter days. The latter days, I will bring back the captives of Elam, says the Lord. Now the text goes on to say that he sends the people of Elam all over the world. And how many of you know that the people of Elam, Iranians, are all over the world? They're all over. When I was a young man, I was 18 years old, I was sent off to Greece. And I lived in Greece for a number of months in Thessalonica. You have in your Bible a book to Thessalonians, 1st and Thessalonians. That's to the church in Thessalonica. And I was not a believer at the time. I did believe in God, but I wasn't walking with him. And I went there. It was a Christian school, a Baptist school. And there was a young man there that was Iranian, and Babak was his name. He was Iranian, and he was a part of, his father was a part of the government before the Shah had fallen in 1979, and there he was in Greece, and he told me that his family is in the United States, and his cousins are over here. Literally, the people of Elam, or Iran, are all over the world. In fact, perhaps you have some Iranian blood. If you do, raise your hand. Okay, wonderful. So what's interesting is this promise, but it'll come to pass in the latter days, I'll bring back the captives of Elam, says the Lord. I'll go to Acts chapter 2. And we're going to look at Acts 2. We're going to see where the Lord takes us with all of this here, but in Acts chapter 2, I'm going to take it from verse 1. I might read a little bit here because somehow I've not underlined it, but that's all right. Oh, the former account I made, O Theophilus, New King James. Oh, that's Acts 1. That's why I don't see it. Here we go, Acts 2. I think it's verse 9. There it is. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, look, are not all of these who speak Galileans? Acts 2, verse 7, now verse 8. Everybody say verse 8. Verse 8. And how we hear each in our own language in which we were born. Parthians, pay attention, and Medes and Elamites. Literally, at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, there are Iranians that were there. Persians. They were there at the outpouring of the Spirit, which is actually a fulfillment of Jeremiah 49, verse 35. That's amazing. I'm telling you, and I prophesy to you, that God is going to bring a great outpouring in Iran, and there's going to be an incredible church that rises up out of this mayhem and all this taking place. And I pray that that regime is removed. They're wicked, antichrist. They hate Jews, they hate Israel, they hate Americans. By their own admission, they'd like to see us wiped out. And so I'm looking forward to them being removed. I'm not God, thank the Lord, because I'd have crispied all of us long ago. How many of you are thankful for God's grace? But I'm hopeful that there's going to be a great awakening there. Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, verse 1, they're all gathered one accord, one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and the whole house, how much of the house? The whole house is filled where they were sitting. There appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. One sat on each of them, verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You know why Pentecostals are called Pentecostals? Because they just preached on Pentecost so much, they just said, we should just call them Pentecostals. Verse 5, they're dwelling in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. When the sound occurred, all right, and we read that. Verse 9, verse 10, verse 11, Cretans, Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues of wonderful works of God. Verse 12, so they're all amazed and perplexed and said one to another, whatever could this mean? Others are mocking them and saying they're full of new wine. Why would they say that? Why would they say they're full of new wine? And Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk. Let me stop and ask you, have you ever seen anybody drunk? All, I got like four yays, and some people are a little nervous because you came intoxicated tonight. No, I'm kidding. Has anybody seen anybody drunk before? Okay, so why would he say, these are not drunk? The reason he's saying that very simply is that their behavior appeared as though they were. It's a good church service right there. So they're accusing them. These are not drunk. And he says it's. Peter standing up. The 11 raised his voice. These are not drunk. As you suppose, it's only the third hour of the day. And that doesn't mean that you should get drunk at the sixth hour. Can I get an amen? You're getting drunk. It's sin. But they're behaving in such a way that it seemed as though they're intoxicated. Everybody say intoxicated. But this was spoken. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now, I've entitled this, This Is That. And that comes from the King James, because here in the New King James, verse 16, but this is what was spoken. But the King James says, this is that which is spoken. Well, what was spoken? He's referring to Joel chapter 2. And in Joel 2, this is what Peter is preaching. And he preaches, and it shall come to pass. And this is a quote from Joel 2, from the Old Testament. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. And I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, of vapor, of smoke. And that's not from vaping, by the way. The sun shall be turned into darkness and moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord, and this shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Go to Isaiah chapter 28 now. Isaiah 28. Now, Isaiah 28 is a passage of scripture. You can read starting in verse 1. It's one of the great woe passages of Isaiah. And he's not talking about a horse. It's woe of the inhabitants. He's cautioning them. He says, you guys, you're in trouble. Whoa. And he's saying basically that the prophets are drinking and they're getting drunk. The leaders are intoxicated. And they've chosen the things of the world. Really, to summarize from verse 1 to verse 11, he says, you've chosen the things of the world. And then verse 11, it says, for with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people. To whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Isaiah 28, verse 12. This is the refreshing. Leave it up, yet they would not hear. I can't tell you how powerful this passage is. We're going to go look at Ezekiel in a minute. It's powerful because you have a people here God's trying to refresh. He's trying to encourage them. He's trying to fill them. He's trying to touch them. He's trying to bless them. But they choose. They choose what? They choose the world. They choose the intoxication of lust, perhaps. Alcohol, perhaps. This is Isaiah talking to the leaders, talking to Israel. I wanted to refresh you, but you chose. I mean, it's crazy. Go read it. Your tables are filled with vomit. Now, vomit's not a nice thing to talk about in church. But God wants to bring a great outpouring to America and every nation in the world. And Leviticus talks about a nation. If a nation rejects God, then the land will literally vomit them out of it. There's a vomiting that the land will bring. It's a picture of judgment. And so here they are. God's calling them, Isaiah 28. And they choose the vomit instead of the refreshing. Go to Ezekiel 34. What are you saying, Pastor? Let me just tell you, as we move into this weekend, there are some gears being shifted in the spirit. And there are people that are going to go on into the refreshing, go on into the blessing, go on into a place in God that you have never been to before. And there are other people just going to stay with your vomit. Bump your neighbor and say, I'm not doing the vomit thing. What about you? Ew. Gross. I never really knew what that phrase meant, like a dog back to the vomit, but then I have a dog that happily eats vomit. Listen, there's a little trick for all the men. I know women just clean it right up, but I don't. I go get my dog and I'm like, dude, eat it. Clean that up. You do the bulk of the work, I'll wipe it up after. Come on, that's just smart. And it's biblical. Come here, Cooper. Come here. Come here. Get it. You get it. That's a good boy. I wipe it up afterwards. Pastor Karen left, so I can talk about that. Ezekiel 34. Listen to this. Verse 26, I will make them in the places all around my hill. My what? My hill, a blessing. What hill? What hill is he talking about? He's talking about the temple. He's talking about the house of God. And the church does not take the place of Israel. Somebody say, you know that's right. We do not take the place of Israel. There's one covenant. But you can apply some of these things. And it's safe to do that in certain instances, such as this one. And I will make them in the places all around my hill a blessing. And I will cause showers to come down in their season, and there shall be showers of blessing. Verse 27. And the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. They shall be safe in their land. And they shall know that I am the Lord. This is, of course, talking about Israel, but I'm going to apply it, take a little bit of liberality here to the church in a season we're about to move into. Trees shall yield their fruit, the earth shall yield its increase, and they shall be safe in their land. And they shall know that I am the Lord when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them from the hand of those who enslaved them. Next verse. And they shall no longer be prey for the nations, nor shall the beasts of the land devour them. But they shall dwell in safety, and no one shall make them afraid. Next verse. Now I'll raise up for them a garden of renown, and they shall no longer be consumed with hunger in the land, nor bear the shame of the Gentiles anymore. Thus they shall know that I, the Lord, their God, I am with them. And they, the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord. You are my rock, my flock, the flock of my pasture. You are men, and I am your God, says the Lord God. It is a beautiful passage talking to Israel. But you can apply it to how he feels about you, his covenant people as well. And it's a beautiful thing to know that God wants to make the house, the hill, a blessing. And you can see as you look in Ezekiel 34, all of these blessings that are tied to the temple in its context. But I'm going to tie it to the church as well, and I think we're safe to do that. Ecclesiastes 3:1. To everything there is a season. The old season's gone. It's a new season. Come on, bump your neighbor and say, it's a new season. Come on. It's a new season. God, some of you should join the choir. Others of you, just stay right where you are. Come on, God wants to bring you into a new season. There's a change taking place. And at every single power conference, the 21st annual now, 21 years. Can you believe that, Pastor Gannon? 21 years. 21. This is a 21. Wow. At every one of these, we have a profound shift that takes place in the church. And a profound shift takes place in my family and my life and in my kids. I've made shifts in ministry around this power conference because there's something about it this season. We're moving into a new season. Come on, I'm definitely leaving the old one behind. Yeah. Well, the old one was a great season. Great. But you can't camp out in the old season. You must move forward. The principles of the kingdom are increase. Fear and greed are the way the enemy works, the way the world works. They drive the markets of the world, fear and greed. But faith and generosity moves the kingdom of God forward. Faith that God is moving you forward into something new. Can you say yes? In Isaiah 28, this stammering tongue, Paul refers to that as in 1 Corinthians 14:21. He quotes that passage relating it to being baptized and filled with the Spirit, which is interesting. Go to Joel chapter 2. Matthew, Mark, Luke, Joel. Joel's in the Old Testament. Joel 2, verse 21. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done what kind of things? Marvelous things. Verse 22, do not be afraid of the beasts of the field, for the open pastures are springing up, and the tree bears its fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their strength. Verse 23 now. Be glad, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month, verse 24. The threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. Keep going. So I'll restore, oh, I love this verse. Has anybody ever lost stuff? This is one of the first prophetic words that I got when I first came to Jesus. I never heard it before. Didn't even know about Joel. I'll restore to you the years the swarming locusts have eaten, the crawling locusts, the consuming locusts, the chewing locusts, my great army that I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. and my people shall never be put to shame. Come on, lift your hands to heaven. My people shall never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Does that sound familiar? Because we just read it in Acts chapter 2. I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Put your hands together for God and clap and shout to God. There's a dramatic change when you let go of the vomit, when you let go of the world, when you let go of the drinking, you let go of the intoxication of money. There's something that happens when your heart shifts and you begin to dial into the one who made you. You begin to press in and call on his name, and you turn from your wicked ways and you repent. Something happens. It's a radical shift and a radical, some of you need a radical change. Man, I got kicked out of every program I was in. Every one. Some of you got kicked out. You're getting kicked out right now. Listen, God has a program for you, and it's called repentance and forgiveness and sanctification and being filled with the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And it releases supernatural abundance. Choose. Taking a lot of different scriptures here. Don't be intoxicated like the people of Isaiah 28. Connect your life to the hill. Connect your life to the temple, if I can say it that way, to the church. And learn of him and grow in him. And what will happen is all of a sudden you'll begin to see a springing forth of blessings and supernatural power. I know it doesn't make sense in the natural. But if you'll begin to yield to him and choose him, you will see abundance. Verse 24, dramatic personal change. The threshing floors will be piled high. Verse 24 of Joel 2, threshing floor. You know what a threshing floor is? Threshing, some of you are at the threshing floor right now. Threshing floor is a great place of celebration. It's also a place of pain. What do you mean? Because in order to get the wheat, you have to separate the wheat from the chaff. Do you know how that's done? That's done by this instrument called a threshing sledge. In fact, Isaiah says, I'll make you into a new sharp threshing sledge with metal teeth, with iron teeth. It's like, you all know what a sled is. You can ride a sled down a hill. So it's like a board. And under the board are teeth. And literally, that board would be hooked up to some animal, some beast of burden, that would then ride over the wheat and separate the wheat from the chaff with those iron teeth. And then when that was done, they would take a winnowing fork. You ever heard of that before? And they would throw it up in the air. The wind would blow, and the chaff would blow away, and the wheat would fall to the ground. Some of you are in the threshing floor. It's a place where God's trying to separate you from people you shouldn't be partnered with. God's trying to separate you from that which is the chaff, and he's trying to bring forth the wheat. You know, the threshing floor is like awesome, and it's also like, ouch. Am I going to say that? I am. Prune me. We don't sing songs like that. You can prune anything, Lord. You can prune me. Pruning. You know, there's a right time to, according to Pastor Tammy Quire, there's a right time to prune your apple trees, to prune your plants. And if you do it at the wrong time, you hurt the tree. If you do it at the right time, you produce fruit. Some of you are being pruned. Some of you are being threshed right now. Listen, learn to love God and trust his plan. Some of you just threw yourself under the bus. I'm not talking about that. Some of you are like, you're waiting for the bus to hit. It's all going good. The bus hasn't hit you yet. Just, you should take it from God's word and from those who've lived a lot more than you have. Turn from wickedness, turn from sin, live a life of blessing, and you see the abundance poured out. This abundance, verse 24, restoration, 25. I'll repay you for all the years So I'll restore all the, how many of you got some years that got taken from you? Come on, this is a time of rest. Come on, say, give me my stuff back. Come on, say it again. Say, give me my stuff back. It is part of the kingdom of God. You serve him. You live for him. You love God. He will bring restoration. Oh, it's so beautiful. A weekend or so ago, I was, 2 weeks ago, I think, I was in Hawaiian Islands. I was in Maui. Dr. Gannon on that faithful corner that I'm always at, that front right side. Worship was just amazing. I was undone. I mean undone. I'm weeping. I mean like ugly face crying. You know, the kind where you like got to cover your mouth because it really looks ugly. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And like your nose is running and like that kind of like blabbering crying. I'm on my knees and I'm weeping because I'm standing in the place that God set me free. In the exact place where devils were cast out of me. I'm worshiping in the same place that God called me into the ministry. I'm worshiping in the same place that I got filled with the Spirit just a few feet away. I'm worshiping in the same place that you laid hands on me countless times. God touched me. And as I'm weeping and crying with my tears hitting the carpet, I said, oh, God. Oh, my son is on the drums playing. And he has a tremendous gift to play on the drums. They're going to be here, but Hannah and Daniel are coming in with a whole team for worship. It's just going to be awesome. They're going to join with our worship team, and we're going to have blow-up worship over this next weekend. Come on, somebody say, woo! So he's playing the drums. My daughter is leading the worship. My daughter Hannah's. It's an amazing voice, tremendous unction from God to lead worship. Daniel, too. Minister Daniel. And so as that's taking place, I just can't take it. And it's just one level after another. It just gets heavier and heavier and heavier. And I'm weeping and weeping and weeping. And then in my periphery come these two cute little shoes. And it's my granddaughter who lays hands on me.
Dad.
That's what they call me. Somebody said, what's your name? They're gonna, whatever your baby, whatever the grandchild calls you, that's not what I'm doing. They're calling me granddad, and it's because it's a generational thing that goes back on my mother's side of the family. I'm not papa, I'm not poppy, I'm granddad. All right, you want to be called papa, poppy, popa, whatever, call whatever you want. I'm going for granddad. I know it's a little bit long. I said, you know, it's gonna be hard for her to learn that. I'm like, she'll get it. And so she doesn't have granddad yet, but she does have dad, and that'll work. Come on, somebody say amen.
So she's like, dad.
I'm like, was overwhelmed. The restoration in my life is supernatural. And what God will do for you in your life, oh, I'm still believing God for some things. How many of you believe in God for some stuff? Yeah. God will rain it down. He'll restore the years. It's this beautiful picture. If you turn towards God and you call on his name and you push away from the table. Satisfaction, verse 26. Look at verse 26. You shall eat plenty and be satisfied. I've had a lot of food and not been satisfied. This says you're going to eat plenty, but it's a picture of satiation. It's a picture of satisfaction. This is what Peter preached. This is what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. He didn't randomly select Joel 2 because it's like, oh, it just kind of fits, feels good. No, it was a prophetic fulfillment. And actually, I think Jesus taught it to him. And I think when they were in the upper room, and I'm reading into it a little bit, and it says it'll come to pass afterward. After what? What were they doing in Joel 2? Joel 2, the armies of the north were going to come. Locusts, they had agricultural problems, military problems. They had political problems. And it says, if you'll rend your heart and not your garment, if you fast and pray, summarize that, it'll come to pass afterwards. After what? After you rend your heart and not your garment and you really turn to God, then you get all of this. I am a living example of it, and I know countless others. Dude, you were wanted by the FBI. Four warrants by the FBI. Don't worry, they've been resolved. Okay. No, I'm just teasing. I know for a fact they've been resolved. They were resolved. You want to tell me how somebody has four warrants from the FBI and he turns towards God, God saves him, fills him, touches him, raises him up, becomes this great pastor, great leader, and then he becomes, this is God's sense of humor, an FBI negotiator. He was an FBI negotiator. They'd bring him in to talk to people that were just, you know, out of their minds or demonized. He had an ability to talk to them and talk them down and bring them through. How is it that you're wanted by the FBI with four warrants and then you become an FBI negotiator? This is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. He'll bring restoration. He'll bring healing. He'll bring deliverance. He'll bring provision. Come on. Come on. He'll do it. I'm looking at Ed back here. Man, you were way out. Look what God did for you, chaplain, over our whole chaplain ministry. We don't have to just pick on me. I could go through the whole congregation. Some of you were lost as a goose in a hailstorm. He delivered you, and now you're leading other people. Come on, Dr. David. He delivered you. You were raised as a Christian, but there were some challenges you were trying to overcome, and he delivered you. It doesn't matter who you are or where you come from. If you'll turn towards God, he'll bring abundance. He'll bring satisfaction. He'll bring restoration. Come on, lift your hands to heaven. Oh, God, release restoration. Look at another verse. 26. Again. Towards the end. Oh, you will never be. I hate shame. You'll never be put to shame. Of course, this is over Israel, but applies to us as we serve God, as we receive the Messiah and live for him. Like the scripture that Peter quoted. Shame. Guilt. You know, if somebody tries to shame me or guilt me into something, it is, I'll just tell you, if you ever try to manipulate me, it's the last thing I'll do. You're like, really? Oh, yeah. You try to manipulate me into doing something, I'll do everything but whatever you're trying to manipulate me into. Homie, don't play that. Come on, somebody say, don't play with homie. All right. I don't know who homie is, but they said that in Chile, I think. Is that a Chilean thing? Is that essay? I got to be careful. I might curse. Jesus, help me. Te amo mucho. Come on, lift your hands to heaven. We're bringing this thing in for a landing. Shame will be broken. Ezekiel, we looked at. There's so much there. The slavery broken. Safety in verse 27. The trees will yield their fruit. What does this have to do with me? Well, first thing, if you're going to take notes, write this down. You want this in your life. You want the abundance. You want the safety. You want the deliverance. You want the restoration. You want all that. You want that? Raise your hand if you want that. I want more of it. Amen. I still have two kids that'll one day be restored. It hasn't happened yet, but it's coming soon. If you're online, love you. It's okay. Come on. It's a whole life over here. Great, amazing family. Can't wait to share life with you. Don't want anything from you. Want to give everything to you. I was warned not to talk about them in church, so I obeyed for about 10 years, but I'm not a bang anymore. So I thought, well, maybe you'll listen and then you'll find out how much I love you. Oh my. Choose. Everybody say choose. Choose to believe. Choose to believe. Don't be like the dog. Don't be intoxicated with the world, with lust, with greed, with money. Don't be intoxicated. Choose to believe and obey. And if you'll do that, you hear the word of the Lord and obey. Hear his word and obey. So I don't feel like it. I know. Some of you live according to your feelings. It's like Seven Flags roller coaster. It's a roller coaster is going down. You're like, and then it's going up. Oh, your whole life is like that. You're just like brother roller coaster, sister Seven Flags. Believe in Jesus. Everybody say, believe in Jesus. Yeah, that means repent. Repent and believe for him to turn things around. Believe, pistis. I'm not cursing there either. It's a Greek word. It's for belief. It's tied to faith. Believe that God's going to bring restoration to you and your auntie, your brother, your sister, your marriage. God's going to bring restoration. Believe the word, obey the word, and expect, that's faith, expect God to do it. It's not going to teach you how to swim and then let you drown. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't yield to fear. Don't be afraid. I don't do fear. If you see me running, you should also run. I'm not given to fear. I never have. I mean, that wasn't so good when I was younger because it was very dangerous. In fact, some of you don't know this, but they used to call me Dangerous Dan. Can we call you? No, you can't. I'm no longer Dangerous Dan. I'm Holy Dan. That's who I am now. Okay. Everybody say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. If you're connected to God and you trust him and you lead and live for him, then he'll lead you and he'll guide you and he'll direct you and you don't yield to fear. Don't yield to fear. Fear of God is not the fear of this. It's not the other kind of fear. It's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and it's all mixed with reverence. Ezekiel talking about the hill of the Lord. You know what that's talking about? Connect to the local church. Be a part of the local church. How come you're saying local church? Because I understand we're different and you might not like it here. That's okay. Find a place where you get fed. There's some good churches around. I hope. You know, I mean, I'm not on the inside, so I can't fully tell you, but I believe that there are. And we need the body of Christ. We're believing and we're going to have 10% of the population in this church. 10%. Everybody say it. 10%. Well, where are the other 90 going to go? I don't know. I don't know, but they need to go somewhere. We need to reach the whole state. We need to become the greatest educational arm in the state of Alaska. You know, tomorrow's a big day. Can I say it? So tomorrow, long meeting, we get our accreditation by the grace of God. Everybody say, by the grace of God. Tomorrow, our school gets accredited. Now, you might not know what that means. That's a big, 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 big deal. The devil has been broken. We are seeing education redefined. Pray for that right now. Come on, lift your voice and pray.
Father, we just thank you, and we just pray, Father God, that we have favor tomorrow, Lord, that you give us favor in accreditation, that everything goes smoothly, Father. We thank you for what you're doing in the school, and we thank you for certified teachers. We thank you that you are moving us up and moving us out, Father. Give us favor with accreditation.
All of our teachers are now certified. Come on, God is doing amazing things. That was like pushing a string uphill. It's like a 1,000-page document. And it's like we just had devils. You had to fight mostly. I prayed. You were the tip of the spear. Thank you. You and your husband. Yeah, go ahead. What are you saying, Pastor Daniel? I'm telling you in closing, can I have keys? History books are waiting to be written about a people who would believe God, who'd get a hold of the word and believe and expect for restoration, expect for miracles, that would believe his word and obey and see a community transformed, to see a state transformed, to see families one after another delivered, to see people set free, to see that burden, that yoke of opioids driven out of this state in the name of Jesus. Do you see an end to abortion, an end to single moms and single dads, and for people to be healed and delivered? That's why the church is here. And if you'll connect to the hill of the Lord, if you'll connect to the church. I mean, some of you think I'm like straining at the neck and pushing and yelling at you to like for some effect. It's not effect. It's passion. So what's up with that? I know what it is to be in a divorced family. I know what it is to be left. I know what it is to feel abandoned. I know what it is to go all through that. May you never experience that. And I know what it is to be set free. I've been in penthouse apartments, full floor apartments on Park Avenue, rode with all the debutante world and all the Rothschilds and all that. Did all that. There ain't nothing there. It's all death. It's all cursed. Set me free. And if it wasn't for a church like this, people like you, I just wanted to take my life all those years ago when I heard Pastor Gannon's testimony. Now, he was kind of disheveled when he got up there. Your hair's still crazy. Standing over on the right side and talked about how he was wanted by the FBI in his California way. And he's like, yeah, and gave my heart to Jesus and how God radically visited him. I'll say it just plainly, simply, on the way to death. He showed him he was going to hell. And if you don't receive my son, Jesus, you're going to die and go to hell. That was the word. Is that correct? Is that about right?
On 10 grams of cocaine.
I was going to leave that out.
They don't want me anymore, so I'm free. 10 grams of cocaine, God spoke to me. Sucked me up into the ceiling above my body, and I watched as my parents walked in my room and I was laying there dead. And he sucked me back into my body and said, what is your excuse today? And I didn't have one. He fleshed every excuse I'd ever given him before my eyes. And on that day, I didn't have one. And I got saved and instantly delivered. Yeah, if you don't accept my son, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior, you're going to die and go to hell. He said it twice. Second time in the, like, father voice when you don't listen the first time.
Why do we have church on Wednesday night? Because lots of people have never heard it like that. Why do we have church on Sunday night? Why do we have a power conference? What's the big deal? I'm sorry. I don't need to register. How dumb can you be and breathe? No, honestly, it's not dumb. I'm so sorry. Ignorant would be better. And it's, is that rough? Ignorant sounds better. Where's Pastor Karen? Pastor Karen, pray, do something. Intercessors interceding right now. If you haven't been offended yet, it's soon to come. I don't want to offend you. I want to offend your stinking thinking. I want to offend your thinking that's taking you back to the table of vomit. I'd like to offend that. I'm going to stick my finger in the eye of that thing with a hot stick. Every hot stick, finger. I'm going to stick a hot stick in the eye of that thing every chance I get. I don't like that church. You're just a little bit too aggressive. Maybe you're so steeped in your intoxication you can't hear, so a little bit of aggression gonna snap you on out of it. Or you can go to hell if you want to. But you'll hate coming here because we'll preach and teach you into a place that if you receive him, you'll be restored, you'll be healed, you'll be provided for, you'll have abundance, you'll have life and life to the full. He'll give you a satisfied life. Nothing satisfies but Jesus. No amount of cocaine, no amount of illicit activity, nothing can satisfy but Jesus. You say, well, that stuff's fun, not for a season, but in the end it reaps its reward, which ultimately is hell. And you must reject it and receive restoration and healing and blessing. It's a choice your bank. And again, Ezekiel ties that to the hill, ties it to the house of God. We do power conference like we're done all these 21 years because you have these seasoned, time-tested man of God, women of God that can prophesy and flow in the power of the Holy Ghost in a unique way. There will be miracles this weekend. There'll be deliverance this weekend. There'll be supernatural signs and wonders this weekend. God's power will be put on display. Anybody can come to the nights. All the nights are open. The day sessions is reserved for those who register. There's room. Register tonight. You say, well, I can't afford it. It's amazing what you can afford when you really want to. Let me say that. And also, if that's the case, truly, you come and talk to me. We'll find a place for you to serve and find a place for you to make it. We'll make it available for you. So don't tell me you can't afford it. It's a hunger. It's a hunger in your heart. And you might not have that, but you can have it after a service like this. Lift your hands to heaven all across this place. I pray with hands raised all across the house that you would set the captives free right now. I pray and preach your word, Lord, and declare Jesus Christ in your blood as the payment for sin. And ask now in Jesus' name that fresh deliverance would flow upon these right now. Oh, thank you. Be set free. Be set free. Come on, stand up on your feet all across this place. If you've never given your heart to Jesus and the moments that remain, give your heart to him tonight. Give your heart to him. You said, I gave my heart to Jesus when I was a kid in camp. I used to live for God, but you drifted because he doesn't move. We do. We drift. He doesn't. He's the same. He's unchangeable. The theological word is immutable. He does not change. So you come back to Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You want to give your heart to Jesus for the first time and make a recommitment to him. Those online, you say, that's me, Pastor Daniel, on the count of three. You want to give your heart to Jesus first time or recommit. Recommit. You're not as on fire as you used to be, and you know it. One, two, lift your hand. Three, lift your hand high. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Lift your hand high, unashamed. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, son. Thank you. I see that hand, sweetheart. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. I see that hand back there. Praise the Lord. I see that hand also. Pray this prayer with me right out loud. Say, dear Heavenly Father. Come on, there's a whole bunch of people praying with you. Pray with me right out loud. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on a cross for my sin. I come to you tonight. And I repent. I ask you to forgive me for everything I've ever done wrong and to come into my heart, to come into my life. Wash me, cleanse me, and make me new. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Amen. Lift your hands to heaven. Holy Spirit, come and fill and touch these right now.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.